Jackson of the International Secret Police.
Zero.
Suspecting that the octopus is up to something, Speed, Clint, and Barney go to the country home of Lasho Tsi Ring, supposedly for a Tibetan picnic celebration, but in reality to keep a close watch on the path of the Iron Dagger. Clint is struck by something familiar in the appearance of the octopus in spite of his Paul Mounier disguise, and tries to find some excuse for going to his castle to take a photograph of him without his knowing it. Since Mounier has asked him not to call for several weeks, it looks hopeless. Meantime, Speed decides to get the picture himself by disguising as a Tibetan shepherd boy again. He asks Dawa's help, and the Tibetan boy not only agrees to help him, but to go with him. Slipping away while Clint and Barney are in conference with Lasho, the boys disguise themselves and, with the dog Kampo and some sheep, make their way to the dangerous pass. We find them at the top of the narrow foot trail.
Boy, that's a steep climb, isn't it, Dawa? Yes, Pete. And these stubborn sheep have made it even more difficult. But at least the climb is over. Now, where shall we go?
Well, there's Paul Mounier's house up ahead.
Yes, I see. Gloomy-looking place. A fit den for an octopus, I should say.
Shh. Better not even mention that name here, Dawa. Someone might hear us.
Of course. I'm sorry.
Now, in back of the house is a large field. I think that'd be a good place to park the sheep. If we really were shepherds, I think we'd take them there. Then while they're grazing, we can sort of get the lay of the land.
Yes, Kampo will take care of the sheep. You need not worry about that. Let us go there now.
Kampo, keep quiet.
He senses danger. Look, Speed, that man ahead, standing by those rocks.
Golly, he's got a gun. Must be a guard or something. Now we're in for it.
What should we do?
Nothing to do but go ahead. And when we pass him, steer like he was wondering what he was doing with that gun.
Excellent. That would be the natural thing, were we truly peasants.
If he asks any questions, Dawa, you'll have to do the talking, because I don't know your language at all.
The man appears to be Chinese, Speed, so I shall not address him in Tibetan, but in broken English, as a shepherd might use.
Swell. Let's get going, then. I'm playing dumb, so it's up to you to talk to him and letting us go by.
I do my best. Namsa! Namsa! Make haste, foolish sheep!
That fellow's watching us like a hawk. I think I'll whistle like we don't expect any trouble at all.
Excellent. Namsa! Namsa! Hasten, miserable sheep. So you eat green grass before night falls. Else, male parents, beat me. Peace, Kampo. All is well.
Where are you taking your sheep?
I know not, honored one. They taking us. We but follow. They smell green grass. Behold, my miserable sheep, starving.
They look fat enough to me. You cannot trespass on the property. You must halt.
We have halted, oh honorable one. But sheep not understand your command. They listen only to a voice of stomach, which tells them they hungry.
Stop that whistling. Well, can you not speak?
Alas, he cannot, honorable one. Evil spirits have taken his speech. We come from most unhappy family. We must tend miserable sheep. And if they not fatten, our honorable male parent beat us and give us no barley or tea.
I have no interest in your cursed family. But you cannot remain here with your sheep. This is the house of the great Paul Mounier. He cannot delve into the mysteries of science with the bleating of sheep deafening his ears.
Please, honored one, have patience with us. Behold, our sheep have gone ahead, have already reached sweet grass that grows in field near Great House. It's difficult to drive them away until they have eaten their fill. Sheep, stubborn animals.
Oh, very well. I cannot waste time arguing with children and sheep. Your animals may graze for an hour, but no longer. Remember that. Only an hour or you shall receive two beatings. One from your father and one from me.
Thanks. A thousand thanks, learned sir. May you be forever protected from 8 demons of country.
You superstitious Tibetan. Be off with you. And remember, only for an hour.
Boy, oh boy, Dalma. You can sure tell some stories when you get started. By the way, why did you stick your tongue out at the guard when he started talking to us? I thought we were goners for sure when you did.
Why, the more humble classes in Tibet always stick out their tongues before addressing their better speed. I thought he might know of the custom, and it would seem strange if I did not follow it.
Tibet is a funny country. If I stuck out my tongue at Clint before talking to him, I'd be in for plenty of trouble.
Is that so? You will probably see many more things that are strange to you, Speed. Beggars, for instance, in addition to sticking out their tongues, also put up two thumbs when asking for alms.
They do. They'd be asking for an automobile ride if they did that in America.
They would? Now, I call that strange.
Well, I guess it all depends on where you live in the world. Well, here we are at the field. The sheep are grazing okay with Kampo watching them, and I think we're out of sight of the guard.
Yes, sir. What next, sir?
I'm going to snap a picture of the back of the house. Can't tell. It might help out in some way. Then I'm going to go toward that open window over there in the corner.
You mean you will attempt to enter the house by that window?
Yeah.
Speed, I am suddenly fearful for you. There is an atmosphere about this lonely castle that is terrifying. Moreover, I do not like the weather.
You don't? I was just thinking it was swell. There's no wind at all.
That is the trouble. It is well past the hour of the winds, and yet the air is still. In Tibet, that means danger.
Danger of what?
A terrible storm, a cloudburst, or a hailstorm. In either case, I should not like to be caught in the path of the Iron Dagger.
Say, if that's the case, me either. But the sky's clear. There's not a cloud in sight.
I have told you of the dangerous weather of this pass. When the wind does come, it will drive black clouds before it that, when they hit the warmer air of the valley, they tear apart and loose their fury over the pass.
Golly, I'll make it snappy then, Dalwa. If I don't get my picture inside a half an hour, I'll come on out and we'll leave.
But I am coming with you, Speed. I cannot allow you to enter that house alone.
No, you've got to stay out here and watch, Dalwa. If you see any sign of danger, give me a signal.
Signal? What sort?
What's that you said to your sheep when you wanted them to hurry?
You mean, Namsa?
Yeah, that's it. Call that out. Only call it real loud so I can hear you from inside the house.
I understand. Oh, wait, Speed. There is the guard again. He's going inside the house.
Yeah. I wonder why.
Speed, do not go on with your plan. Let us return to the home of my honored male parent. Should anything go wrong, no one would know what had happened to us. You left no word for your uncle.
I know, Dalwa, but don't worry. Nothing's going to happen to us. Just you stay here and watch, and I'll be back before you know it with a picture of the octopus. Just you wait and see, Dalwa.
The slaves are beginning to be fearful.
Master!
Yes, Quanu? What is that guard doing with you? He should be outside the castle, not here with the prisoners.
He brings news, Master. Two shepherds have brought their sheep to graze on the landing field.
What?
They are but boys, Master. They can do no harm, and I told them they must be away in an hour.
They can do no harm? I could send you to the torture room for this.
Oh, no, no, have mercy.
Fools deserve no mercy. Why did you allow these shepherds to pass in the first place?
Their sheep went ahead before I could stop them. I could not desert my post to chase them.
You deserted your post to come inside the castle.
Oh, my throat was parched. I craved water.
What shall I do, Master? Order the shepherds away?
No, that might arouse suspicion. Since the slaves are here in the house, I cannot risk rousing the anger of the shepherds. I would need good reason to drive them away.
What shall we do then? Leave them alone?
For the time being. But you say they are boys?
Yes, Master.
I think I will go upstairs and see them for myself. Perhaps they are not exactly what they seem. In which case, our Tibetan shepherd boys will never leave the castle.
I'll show you the camera I was telling you about, Mr. Steering. I think you'll be interested in it.
Assuredly, Mr. Marlowe.
Say, Clint, wonder what's happened to Speed and Dawa. Haven't seen hide or hair of them for a long time.
Oh, Dawa is probably showing Speed over the grounds, Bonnie. Yeah, let me see now. Where did I leave that camera?
Last I saw, it was in its case in your makeup kit.
Oh, yes, that's right.
You use a great deal of makeup in your work, do you not?
Yes, indeed. Here we are. What? Well, somebody's been in this case. Some of the makeup is missing. And look, Bonnie, the camera case is empty.
Good heavens, Mr. Marlowe, you don't think you have been robbed?
No, they wouldn't have taken the camera and makeup in that case. The camera. Speed heard me talking about getting a picture of the octopus to telephone it to Chief Riley.
Clint, you don't think the kid decided to tackle the job of getting it alone?
I don't dare think until we know more, Bonnie. But we've got to find those boys.
Well, come. Let us step out on the porch again, gentlemen. There is an enormous shell there that I blow to summon my shepherds. The sound carries a long way.
Good. Let's get out there quickly.
That crazy kid. Do you think he'd do such a thing, Clint?
Well, he's done similar things before, Bonnie.
Here. Here is the shell.
Okay, give it all you got, Mr. Searing. Not a sound.
Strange. Dawa would answer immediately if he heard that.
He won't answer, Searing, because he's gone to the path of the Iron Dagger with Speed.
What? Suffering wang doodles. If the octopus sees those kids, he'll know them, disguise or no disguise.
Exactly. Come on. We've got to get up to that castle before he sees them. We haven't a minute to lose.